It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast, and myself, Niall, and Andrea Cleary here. Hi.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. So it's the monthly episode where we talk about the music that we loved in the preceding 30, 31 days, month, calendar month, whatever it may be. And there's lots of albums to choose from this month. There's lots of Irish albums to discuss. There's a lot of things that were released in October. I think October is usually quite a busy month. It's kind of like get in before the end of the year kind of list stuff. I think it's the 1st of November here as we record. I'm already starting to think about, I need to start thinking about this. I've been thinking about it for a month or so, but the end of year lists and how we're going to do them, what's going to be on it. And I think there are so many songs on a playlist that I have this year. I have a playlist called Current Listening. It starts January 17th, 2023. And there's now 2,576 songs on it, 158 hours, all album songs,
that's
all albums
crazy.
That were released since January. So I think that's the thing. I'm like finding it hard to get back to, I've said this before, but like getting back to listen to albums again. And even though there's plenty of stuff this month that I'll talk about later that I enjoyed, but I didn't get to listen to more than one or two times. We will briefly mention that later, perhaps.
I'm going to tell you the difference between you and me, right? You've been keeping that playlist since the 17th of January. I created a playlist last week called Albums 2023 because I was like, oh, I better start thinking about this. It has one album and it's Lana Del Rey's album because I was looking up to see if that came out this year or not. And then I added it in and I was like, that's my work done now. I couldn't name you an album that came out this year. I honestly, oh God, no, I'm going to have to do a lot of work.
I find it a bit overwhelming sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Like, especially, you know, there was a recent chat in our Discord, the 99 Discord, about like the importance of whether people enjoy album reviews. And, you know, album reviews can be brilliant. They can be great, but it's just so hard to find the time to dedicate it truly to what you want to do and to give that album that time
to write them, do you mean, or to read them?
Yeah, to write, but also just to listen to these days. I think it's hilarious. Like, I used to be like so into pre-release albums and stuff like that and be like, great, here's a pre-release album, I'm gonna listen to it now. I don't get near those pre-release streams anymore. Like, I don't get near them unless it's something like, I had listened to the CMAT one in advance because I was sent it and I was like, grand, I'll give this a go. Few others, the Oxen one we'll talk about shortly. Some other albums on in the last few months, but very few albums you get a chance to listen to well.
Yeah, I'm not reviewing as many albums these days because I'm not kind of writing for papers as much anymore, but I review albums for Arena now and then. But I've really found that like not having that sort of near weekly thing where, you know, you're, I don't want to say forced, but you do have to, for work, listen to a new album or a pre-release album without any of the hype around it or without seeing anybody else's opinions around it. And not doing that anymore has really changed entirely how I listen to music on a day-to-day basis, which is interesting. I'm finding myself going through like, oh, this month I listened to this band, and it's like I'm actually spending like a whole month with a band, whereas I used to not have that time. And it's just a different way of listening, I think. It's the way I used to listen to music before I started reviewing things. But yeah, I found it really interesting to like to do that.
I do enjoy the Friday stuff though, the new music releases.
I haven't paid attention to any like big release Friday in a really long time.
I do a list every Friday for that reason, because so I know what's going on and I can see how many albums are coming out. And it's kind of an exercise to me, I find, just to do it. And especially when there's so many like big Irish albums and Irish albums of note that are being released, I find it really useful. Like, readers and listeners may know that in the last while I have put together an Irish album upcoming release dates page, because it used to be one on Genius and it's no longer there. But even before the end of November, we're going to get the albums from the scratch. Rachel Lavelle, David Holmes, John Francis Flynn, Nilo, Troll Fadeen. We have one today from The Line and yesterday Girlfriend. So there's loads of things to listen and loads of long form things still coming out. Usually November is kind of like, no, don't do that. That's too late. But it's still happening. And I think that's really interesting.
I think November is fine, but just not December.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me this year, November is going to be very different. I think we want to try and do a lot less current stuff due to the aforementioned baby we have on the way. So hopefully we'll be able to take some time off when the baby drops.
When you're dropping the baby. I mean,
when you're dropping that baby. Yeah. It's a funny one.
Niall
just need the
teasing
time.
A baby. It's finally about to drop. That
big news coming soon.
I can't wait for the first podcast that we have the baby on. That's going to be great.
Oh yeah, wow,
can't wait to hear the baby's opinion on many things. Oh,
that is slightly freaking me out a little bit, but in a good way. We're very close now. End of the month ish we'll see. Anyway, let's talk about the music that we love this month in that context then. What out of the many many albums that did and songs that did come across our way, what stuck with you? So let's start with yourself. What's your first choice this month?
Yeah, what stuck with me mostly this month, looking at my choices, is Irish music. Everything I have today, except for one album, is Irish. The first album I've chosen is from Oxen, and here's a listen to Cruel Mother.
She leaned her back against a thorn. She was all alone and lonely, and there she had two babies born. Down.
So Oxen is the first signing to Plata Records in 18 years, so quite a big deal. It's made up of Katie Kim, Eleanor Myler, and two members of Lancome, Rady Pete and John Spud Murphy. And I think obviously that is the vocal stylings of Rady Pete there, completely unmistakable. But I think that you can hear in it that there is definitely a difference between the sound of this band and the sound of Lancome. The first time I heard that song, it does start out, you know, quite Lancome-ish, you know, doom folk, the drone, but then that guitar comes in and it's much faster and it's much more kind of frantic than you'd expect. You'd expect them to go the kind of the Wild Rover route and have these, you know, long droning, drawn out tones. But there's something in it that kind of uplifts it a little bit more. And so Oxen was originally a duo between Rady and Katie Kim. They were playing shows together back in 2018, and then they started to bring more people in. Back in 2018, they covered during those shows one of my favorite songs, I think one of your favorites as well, from an album that we love on this podcast, which is Maya Sophia is the Wife of Michael Cleary, and their rendition of that song is on this album as well, and it sounds like this. I was so happy when I heard that song that they retained the slight little chord change when she sings "Oh the Mess." It's my absolute favorite part of Maya's original song. It's just it's such a moment of levity and lightness, and it's so beautiful. And they retained it in this version as well. And I was so happy. I think that's an outstanding cover of that song. And you know, I was sharing on Instagram earlier today and just saying that, you know, I could hear a million renditions of that song and it would still send shivers down my spine. I think it's an absolutely outstanding song, and they did such a good job with it. You can tell they took a lot of care with it and they really tried to create the atmosphere around it. And I think with Maya's version and the Oxen version, they feel to me like kind of two sides of the same coin, you know. There's like kind of light and dark, and oh, it's so amazing. Yeah, and then another track I wanted to highlight from this record. I mean, they're all great.
Well, there's only six tracks on it. So,
yeah.
So I'm 45 minutes in length.
I'm playing half the album here. But there's a song that I really love called Love Henry. I think it has a real sense of folk horror about it. And when you listen to this, just imagine it in a Mark Jenkins film or a real, I don't know, some kind of folk horror set in rural Ireland or something. It's a story
it's
about
very appropriate that the red light of the artwork is reflecting on my face in it.
It is actually, yeah, you look kind of spooky. But this is a story about a murder that I won't go into now because I think it's best heard kind of unfolding in song form. So yeah, this is Love Henry. So he's banded over Snow White pillow. I just think it's amazing the depth of tone that they manage to get to throughout the album, but particularly when that like really deep kind of vroom comes in that part of that track, and it still sounds beautiful. It's like, it's beautiful and scary and unsettling at the same time. It's like the tone like between those two things is so perfectly balanced. And overall, I think the album is like completely just like masterful. It's exactly what you'd expect. Like, it's as good as you'd expect it to be from these four musicians, you know, each of them incredibly accomplished in their own right. And as always, Rady Pete just being like one of the country's best storytellers as well. It's an amazing album. It's gotten amazing reviews, you know, 5 stars in The Guardian. The Guardian seemed to love Rady.
Yeah.
And Lancome and this project as well. And it's been received really, really well. So I'm delighted to see
that. I think The Guardian review is the one that says it's two members of Lancome. I guess like John Spud Murphy isn't technically a member of Lancome, but he is the fifth. He's the producer, right?
If you're talking about the sound of Lancome and the sound of Oxen, you can't not like make that link, I think.
Yeah, but also in Percolator with Elner Myler, who plays on this as well, plays drums, I believe. And Katie Kim as well. I mean, the other two songs I could play as well, because they do a wonderful cover of Katie Kim's own song, The Feast, which is great. And then the final track, which is a Farmer in the City, a Scott Walker cover, which is very Sowen suited this week.
Fantastic. Nearly
13 minutes long.
Yeah.
Really love that. So I really enjoyed that myself. Couldn't go to the gigs this week, but they were long sold out, the ones in the Sugar Club. We'll see. And they also played Cork Jazz Festival last week. So interested to see if there's more from this band to come, or will there be other things that happen as other releases or other things down the line? Or is it very much like a limited thing that they wanted to just work on and Clada made it possible? So yeah, very, very interesting. So interesting to see that come out, and really like it has lived up to, like you say, six songs, 45 minutes long. Really, really good.
But
really
just good. Packed such a punch, like just so brilliant, and such a nice bonus for fans of Lancome as well, because like, you know, we've been having this kind of this folk moment, this trad moment, whatever it is that Lancome are doing and are navigating, and it's really nice to see kind of more musicians being brought into the mix, like literally, like a lot of collaboration. You know, folk music and traditional music is all about collaboration, so it's nice to see that play out when it's, you know, when it's happening in the industry and when you have record labels and gigs and so on going on. It's nice to see that the spirit of collaboration that is at the heart of these genres is being retained. So yeah, I think that's lovely.
For sure, for sure. And also worth mentioning, since it's a rare gig for them, and also worth supporting as well, a gig announced today, the gig for Gaza, happening in Vicar Street on 28th of November. Lancome, Mary Wallopers, Damon Dempsey, Lisa O'Neill and more, all playing that. So a rare Lancome show. Now, what I would like to see is a Lancome and Oxen doubleheader. That'd be something else now.
Amazing. Yeah.
But maybe someday soon.
Reminder to anyone who, like me, thought, I'll definitely go to this gig. You're going to Off Menu that night. You can't go. So just bear that in mind.
Where's that on?
Canal Theatre. What's that called?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Borgosh. Is that it?
Borgosh Energy Theatre.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was in the group chat and I was like, now we know Rady Pete isn't the guest on Off Menu. Sake.
Okay, well, it's time for me to pick an album as well, from an Irish artist, one that came out also last week. So it is the second album officially, even though it doesn't feel like the second album, feels like the third maybe, from Kojak. It is Phantom of the Afters, the second album proper from the Softboy Records co-founder and kind of their marquee artist. He has been developing his craft for a number of years now. He's just such an interesting hip-hop artist. An Irish hip-hop artist who does his own thing, who remains interested and challenging. I think he likes to work within the album confines as well. I think you're seeing that. You've seen it with Delhi Daydreams when it first came out, a short album about, you know, being, you know, kind of a worker, and then you know, daydreaming about what you could be and where you could go, and embodying all that and then encapsulating a bit of Dublin with that. And then Town's Dead, you know, very much about the city, the Dublin city, and how things are not really progressing maybe as they could. And it's refracted through that lens. Here, I think this is really interesting because Kojak's Phantom of the Afers does what the Fontaines DC talked about doing a lot when they released Skinty Fia, and that's talks about being the Irish diaspora in London and being the person and the feelings of guilt and weirdness and like displacement around moving to London as an Irish person for art's sake. And I think Phantom of the Afters is kind of haunted by that decision to move. And I think it's done really, really well on this album. Kojak embodies a character called Jackie Dandelion, who is kind of this alter ego. It has been suggested, possibly named after the Fontaines DC song, Jackie Dandelion, actually. But he's kind of this, like, possibly.
I don't know if that's true. Oh, no, tinfoil hat on. Totally in for that. Yeah. That's amazing.
But I think the intro sets it up so wonderfully. There's an intro on this album, which is a chant that just says, Jackie took the soup. Jackie took the soup. Because he goes to London. He moves to London and people are like, he took the soup. You know, I mean, traditionally, it's so funny when you see that in English reviews I saw today. It's like, worst thing you can do as an Irish person. I was like, do you know what that means? That means you give up your Irish identity in order to take some food and take an English name, essentially.
Wait, so what's the phrase? Took the soup?
Yeah, you took the soup. Exactly what I said there in like the famine time, say if your landlord or somebody who's offering you food, we said, I'll give you this food, but you have to give up your Irish name and use an English name.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, no, right. Okay. That's interesting. Well, that's what it's for. That's where it comes from. And so that's what my understanding of it is now. Yeah, I have to double check it, but that's where it comes from as far as I'm aware. So it's like changing your name because in order to survive. Mm. And so the parallel for that obviously is a lot of this album is written in the backdrop of that move to London and kind of displacement. In the notes of the album, it talks about this Jackie character, this alter ego, trying to find a foothold in his life. Exploring the album traces blurred outlines of childhood trauma, depression, grief, and the quest for love while addressing immigrant identity, homesickness, cultural stereotypes, and ultimately the reconciliation of the self. It's this willingness to be vulnerable, grotesque even, that's captured in the artwork, which subverts the bigoted depictions of the Irish caricatures in 19th and 20th century Punch magazine cartoons, and sees this particular Phantom of the Opera move not just those distorted masks, but also his own. Now, there's loads on this album to get into. It's very much a very consistent kind of rap album. It doesn't have any of those like Town's Dead, the title track, had the Gillaband sample and stuff. There's a lot of there's guests like Wiki and Big Pig, Charlotte DeSantos, Sammy Copley's featured, the band, Leeds band, Gott Street Park. But they're all there to serve the overall purpose of the record, which essentially is this very modern Irish hip hop record that does that. I love the one I'm going to play first is this Wiki. Actually, I'll play the Larry Bird one because I think that sets the scene really well. That's the song that is basically set on when you fall asleep on a flight from London like Stansted to Dublin, and then it's him imagining himself taking the in-flight microphone and rapping. But also it's just built into that thing. It's also worth saying that Jackie Took the Soup intro as well, like you can kind of hear like boats you know, horns as the kind of bass line. So I just think it's a really nice way of like echoing that kind of Irish immigration story in the intro. I think this is very, very clever. So here, I'll play a bit of this Larry Bird song now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you all on board this flight to London Stansted. I could just have your attention for a moment. I'll tell you about the in-flight entertainment that we've got provided.
Give me the mic. I'm Larry Bird, before the gross bird. Know the talents within me. If I go before my mind, just don't let them bury her with me. Plan to leave this earth though I found her. Sometimes I feel too crowded. Sometimes I feel like a cherub pissing in fountains. Like, fuck you, Maddabelle. It's what I was made to do. Nobody stole your ambition. It's just escaping you. camera flash, I'm laughing, moving away from you. The frame ain't off, I just move at a different rate than you. Jedi vision, 25, the sharp's fishing. No idea, gon' fuck up the whole mission. Charlotte sweethearts up in the tree kissing, and she like it when I spell shit down with my tongue tipping. Never felt I've been so broke that I can't fix it. Used to draw the tea bags out in the back kitchen. Came too far not to use what I got given. Now I'm up at echelon, got used to the partition. Like, got used to the partition. Hey, got used to the partition. Got used to that partition. Like.
So that's kind of setting the scene a bit with the album, and I think it's a very clever way of doing it. Like modern, the modern Irish immigration story is a Ryanair flight to London and back, you know, for most people. So I think it's very true. And I just think it's really interesting. There's loads of lyrics like that on the album. I left the country with a suitcase and a dream to be the very biggest name my little country's ever seen. I hope I love you, call you when I've landed. It features, that's the last song on the album, which features, it's called Heaven Shouldn't Have You, features a sample of Sammy Copley, the Irish singer-songwriter song, Irish Goodbye, about homesickness. I'd love to love it here, the only home I've ever known, and sure I'd miss the evening mist and glistening cobblestones, but it gets late at 10 to 8 and leaving's in my bones. By God, I'd love it here, the only home I've known. So I just think there's loads of that kind of stuff in the album. Like there's a song called Fat Ronaldo, Covent Gardens. There's a lot of like London references, there's a lot of London voices in it here as well. So I mean, it does really kind of paint that picture really well. Think of me, Ma, and the guilt goes through me. These toffs don't get my jargon. Try open up and they look at me in the pub like someone fired it. Get torn up like a potato pack on a pub table gone scarlet. So there's loads of that kind of stuff that I think is really interesting. But to be honest, the songs that I'm vibing with the most are the Larry Bird song, Cabra Drive, a song about growing up in Cabra. So there's that. And then this one, Johnny McEnroe with Wiki, is a great, fun Irish transatlantic hip-hop collab. Let's have a listen to this.
I can't take no blame for that, you know that's what I do. I didn't bring your girl around me, I didn't make her choose. Couple people hate me, couple love to see me lose. I just love to disappoint, I'm on to season 2. Sequel, lose my equal in this bitch, I'm one of one. Johnny McEnroe, I'm serving like it's dirty love. Fuck some people that I probably shouldn't, sure enough. I don't got no time for looking back, what's done is done. Lines on the table, life gotta play for. Hypocrite, I fuck around, but with my woman faithful. Moody with the brew, I'm always ripping off the label. Devil making work for idle hands and mine are able. I'm like Michael, fresh out the boat and getting pussy like a young fiver. In the city wide-eyed, I'm a first timer. On the train with the pad like the new Bible. Same title. I've been heating up, I wasn't cooling off, feet up. Now I can't keep my feet from being beaten up, I couldn't stop. He just walked until he couldn't walk, sat and thought. What we doing with this next year, do the drop. This one going super off, leave the shorties loosey off. Used to say I was a loser, lost, it was all fucking talk. Now they love me, rub me off, say they love it, but I swear I love it.
So just a bit of flavor of that Kojak Wiki song, Johnny McEnroe. Yeah, I think it's really good. I'm really enjoying it so far. It's very different, I think, to Townstead. And that's a good thing. I think he talked recently about being dropped from his label, which I think deal with them. So everything that he's doing now as Kojak is fully independent with Softboy Records. So I think he's doing really well. There's some really great artwork and video stuff going on with this as well. And I think that idea, I was wondering about the, you know, the Jackie Dandelion character and where it was come from. And I think it makes a lot more sense now in the context of that Punch magazine kind of Irish stereotype stuff. So I think here's an artist doing really interesting things, talking about a lot of people, what a lot of people experience in Ireland and when they leave, you know, their relationship with their country, the relationship with their family, their relationship with themselves and their relationship with their art and work.
And with the English. So. Who are their friends and their co-workers and the people supporting them. You know, it's like, it is a really, really complicated relationship that we have between our isles.
Absolutely.
You know?
Okay, well, that's Kojak and the album is called Phantom of the Afters.
Let's have another Irish, an Irish woman See you, Matt. She needs no introduction, but I'm going to give her one. This is her second album. Crazy mad for me to say that it was, you know, much anticipated would be an understatement. Also, maybe a bit of a surprise coming so soon after the debut. If my wife knew, I'd be dead. I just foresaw her going away for ages. But she obviously has like a lot of songs. She's a songwriting machine, as we know. But, you know, that first album was basically all anybody talked about for like a year. I know people who do not go to gigs ever who have seen her like three times. You know, it she went so beyond even just like the music crowd, and really, really hit. So it was amazing. It was such an amazing story. And so obviously Crazy Mad for Me comes with a certain amount of pressure behind it. She wrote it to explore a breakup from kind of various perspectives and various different ways of looking at it. Finds her, I think, branching away somewhat from the country tinged pop. It's still very much there. It's in the roots of her songwriting, but she's starting to move into kind of neighboring genres. She has a lot more kind of electronic instruments on this record. She has a duet with John Grant. There are changes in Camp CMAT, but it's still very undeniably her. So yeah, let's have a listen to Where Are Your Kids Tonight featuring John Grant.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm sorry, I got distracted because my friend sent me a lot of TikToks of the 1975's Halloween show where Matty is dressed as Patrick Bateman. Because of course
Boring.
He is. Of course he is.
A break from him.
I'm having a break from him, which is really nice. I'm obsessed with someone new now.
I thought they were finished.
No.
For a while.
No, they're still,
on tour.
No, until the spring. Those spring shows will be the last for a while.
I just thought they were on a brief break.
No, they were selling the tickets to the shows, which will be the last shows before the break, but they don't happen until the spring. Where Are Your Kids Tonight featuring John Grant and CMAT. I think that's a great song. It really grew. I liked it the first time I heard it, but it really, really grew on me in the context of the album. And so did Have Fun as well, which I think is it the last track on the album, actually?
It is, yeah.
I think it's really well placed there. I really like it there. And another song I wanted to highlight from this, just two songs from this record, is Rent, because it's been a bit of a staple throughout her live shows. There's a lot of, there has been, you know, before the album was released or before we saw a track listing or anything, a lot of questions as to whether or not she was going to release this song. It's been a bit of a fan favorite throughout her tour, and I think it's absolutely marvelous. So this is Rent.
Flies my hope into and put it on ice, put it on ice. Your bed and cartoons could have been my life. I found lashes on the DVD case. You said they were mine, said they were mine. Never my style, but I didn't want to get on your wrong side. You lied like a kid in trouble to me. Whatever they want. It's like I'm paying all this rent I can't afford for two. And now, baby, the rent is due. And I don't know anything about you. It's like I'm paying all this rent I can't afford for two. And now, baby, the rent is due. And I don't know anything about you.
Nothing. I love her vocals in that track. I like how she sounds a little bit out of breath in the chorus. Yeah, I just love that song. It's the song I'm listening to most from the album. I have to say, I think the first time, I didn't listen to it until the day it came out. I think I had a copy of it, but I was like, no, I want to wait. It didn't affect me, we'll say, in the same way as If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead. And I think there was a little bit of disappointment that I just didn't get that album again. Do you know what I mean? And then I was sort of like, I don't want that album again. Like that album, that first album will always be the first album. And I kind of just like coughed myself on a bit and was like, no, like listen to it as it is. And look at the progression she's making, look at the decisions that she's making. I found the album really open up for me. It's a lesson, and it's also something that I'm sure everybody listening and yourself, you've had that experience where you're like, oh no, it's not exactly the thing I like. It's something different. And it takes a little bit more time to get used to a new sound or to some new elements in it. But once I gave myself over to it, I really, really, really liked it. And it is one of my favorite albums of the year. I think that first album will just always be so special to me. It was, you know, it was songs that I was like listening to during lockdown. It's just very of a time in my life. And it was a really important album for me in my life. Maybe I don't have the same sort of like emotional attachment to Crazy Mad for me yet. But that said, I think the songs are fantastic. I think the decisions she's making in terms of where she's going with her music are really, really smart. You kind of see Matt on a song and it not sound like a C-Matt song. That's the thing. We're just kind of seeing different elements of her personality come through. And I think the lyrics, particularly on this album, are definitely more mature. She's still funny. She still has her pop culture references, but they feel a bit more steeped in emotion. Or they feel a bit more not earned, because I think the references on the first album are great. Like the Peter Bogdanovich song, I think is just genius. They maybe feel like they have a bit more context. They don't sort of come out of left field as much. And I think that's good, even though that's something I love with the first record. But yeah, it's a lesson for us all. Don't dismiss something just because it's not the exact same thing as you got the first time around. It may still grow.
Well, it wasn't like you weren't going to go back to the CMAT album again.
No, but I was, do you know what it was? It was like, I got to the end of my first listen and I was like, oh no, I'm so afraid that I don't like this. And what if I just end up pretending to myself that I like it? But that's not the case at all. It was just different. And I felt like I wasn't ready for change. Yes, you know, between me and my best friend Seema, you know.
Yeah, but I haven't done this long enough, as we discussed, like reviewing albums and listening to it. You get that feeling an awful lot.
Yeah,
them, so you actually do end up loving. Mm. Like, I kind of had that feeling the first time I listened to the Kojak album. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Mm. And then, you know, the more you get into it, you're more like, oh yeah, this is actually really great. And
yeah,
there's really interesting turns.
Oh, and, I mean, I remember having it within Rainbows. Themselves. Like, you know, it's just part of like,
well, sometimes it feels like maybe it feels like the pressure to react to something or feel something when, you know, that's why, you know, album reviews were also quite difficult to, you know, encapsulate. You're like, it's an impression of an album after a certain number of listens. So that's quite difficult to, you know, sometimes ascertain, and it's only a snapshot of your time with an album to that point. So
yeah,
I think it's good. I think that maybe it's more interesting then to get to know it really well and
yeah,
and kind of go, oh yeah, I'm spending time.
That's
with this.
It. It should be. I'm still getting to know this album, I think, but it's still revealing things to me, and it's still making me laugh.
Yeah,
and moving me in different ways.
And in a way, like that's the wonderful thing about music, because we can, like, much the way that young kids like listen to or watch Disney movies or listen to the over and over again, like we don't do that with film, we don't do that with many other media, many other art, in the same way, where we want to listen to experience it again and again and again, and it does explore and give us new perspectives on the work and stuff as well. So
yeah,
you can say that with maybe an artwork in a gallery, seeing it at a different time, different place, mood, all the things, your environment, everything affects how you feel about an album when you first hear it. And especially if there's this loaded, oh, I actually love this artist and I really want to like this. That's that's a whole other mood.
I think also I've realized that, like, the ideal listening experience for me on a Friday when a new album comes out is not sitting at my desk. Like, I know that now, and I have to really try not to just be like, okay, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working, I'll put on the new whatever album in the background. And I've kind of realized that that's not, and actually I'll talk a bit more about that with an album later. I've kind of realized that I actually need to be paying a bit more attention when it comes to an album, like the Seema album, where I'm like, you know, this is an important artist to me. This is an artist that I love. I also need to be bringing myself to the album, you know, as much as the album is bringing itself to me. And sort of giving it like due diligence, so that it has a chance to move me, not while I'm banging out emails or something. Do you know, I don't think that's ideal. So I'm kind of learning not to be lazy in my listening as well. So, yeah.
Let's move on to my next choice. It is an album from a very prolific artist at the moment. One of the artists is very prolific. His name is the producer, The Alchemist. And he's teaming up here with Earl Sweatshirt on an album called War Deer. Now, I did talk about this briefly previously, so I won't talk about it too much. It was initially released on a blockchain streaming site called Gala Music, which had these NFT purchase options, and that's sort of the first place you could hear it. It was finally released in October on streaming services. It's 27 minutes. It's got this dreamy Kurt quality to it. That's like probably like Earl Sweatshirt is very like dense, can be quite discombobulating rapper. He kind of goes off on his own thing sometimes, but very much in his own, keeping in time and keeping in a pace with his own work. But here, I think I just find the kind of jazz and kind of music vibe passages here are chopped and sample heavy, and they just have a dreamy quality to it that I think works really well for what Earl does. Vince Staples and Mike also feature on the album. Let's play a bit of Heat Check, which reminds me of something that MF Doom might have loved and rapped over.
Couldn't cope with the dope fiend shit, ho, that's a whole needle, so I can't promise that I won't leave you. I put my all in and I broke even. Profit try to told people, chuck chuckle at the known evils. I stepped over when they rolled to the bros, I lay in low tree, yeah. Petals of roses and broke treaties. Little the road I was on swinging, I couldn't hold shit with cold fingers. In other words, niggas don't feel you, really. Stay on my square like Sicilian slice. Power spread like Jiffy. It make perfect sense, you try and get a bite. I snicker, I caught her with a sidewinder, slithering in the vine, and listen, it's hissing like spinning vinyl. This
cylinder. That is Heat Check. Here is a little bit of a track featuring Mike El Sentry.
See at the head, it's time to eat. I need to breach, heavy set. Can't you dig what I'm saying? Notice that you easily led. So I took a seat at the head, it's time to eat.
You remember I'm feeling like Aubrey. They ain't bread, nigga, how it involved you. I was there when them smiles were soft. Know me acting surprised when you call me. But imagine I gave you my all. All my flaws and brides of adult you. I got tired of...
Yeah, there's quite a lot of good rap albums out at the moment. The Alchemist has done, is very prolific at the moment. I don't really know why, but he's just releasing loads of stuff. He also had an album called Faith is a Rock, which I mentioned last month with Mike and Wiki. That was Mike there. You just heard Wiki on the last track with Kojak on Kojak's album. And that's Aero Sweatshirt as well. So just lots of really interesting stuff that I'm still getting myself into as well. I think in terms of rap albums, I've heard some interesting stuff. There is, yeah, Mike has an album himself, which just came out as well, which is called Burning Desire. He's coming to Dublin soon as well. West Side Gun has a new album out. There is, yeah, The Alchemist have been releasing kind of like once-off singles as well. And so just really prolific. And then the other album I was thinking of was the Arm & Hammer, yeah, and Billy Woods album as well. So there's lots to go on there. There's lots of good prominent stuff coming out. We Buy Diabetic Test Strips is the name of that. Arm & Hammer, Billy Woods, Elucid album. And Billy Woods is one of those dense rappers as well. So just really, really interesting stuff. I love the Aero Sweatshirt. So I think the hookup with the Alchemist works really well here. I'm conscious we spent a lot of time already on the first few choices. So let's go with your choice, Andrea.
So my next choice is my final album for this week's podcast. It is Sufjan Stevens. The album is called Javelin. I make notes for the albums and songs that we're going to listen to, and I literally couldn't bring myself to write down anything about this album. So we're going to vibe it together, if that's okay now, because I just can't think of a single thing to say. So yeah, let's take a listen first to So You Are Tired.
So you are tired as the sun. Are you with or without?
Sufjan, oh God, it's been a year for Sufjan. He was diagnosed with GBS, Guillain-Barré syndrome, I think is how you say it, which is a immune system disease. He had to spend a lot of time in hospital and in rehabilitating from that, learning to walk again. He was very, very, very seriously ill. And, you know, all the while this album was coming out, and then on the day that the album was released. So Sufjan has a Tumblr blog where he was giving a lot of updates about his condition and his recovery. And he posted a blog post that was, you know, just announcing that the album was out, thanking everyone for their support. And also full thing one coming out. A lot of fans would say, you know, like, finally he's come out, like, because we've kind of known for a long time. He came out by telling us that his partner had passed away earlier in the year, in March, I believe, or in the spring of this year. It was a sort of an incredibly difficult thing to learn on the day of the album's release. That sort of struggle, his personal struggle, his struggle within his relationship, the passing of his partner, his health struggles, all of that is in this album. You know, it's all over this album, often quite explicitly. You know, I was talking about like coming to an album with your whole self and giving it a chance. This is an album that I was reading papers or something. I was doing something relatively passive, working away, and I put it on my headphones and was thinking, obviously, how sad that, like, all of this is, and really feeling for Sufjan. When I tell you that I haven't had a reaction to an album like the one that I did with this in such a long time. I was sobbing at my desk. I was like, I properly broke down. And it hadn't happened to me, you know. I texted you and I was like, oh, I just had my second cry at an album this year, because, you know, the Boy Genius album early in the year, I had a tear. But this wasn't a tear. This was like, I don't know what this was. It was me at the Antlers live show when they played Hospice from start to finish, and I was just bawling in the front row, like straight into your man's eyes, like, yeah. Just the most awkward. And yeah, it was like, it's such an incredible album. It is so full of the things that make Sufjan Sufjan, which is namely spirituality and religion and God, and the sort of the day-to-day sort of divinity that he experiences through his beliefs, and love and family, and just all of the stuff that makes his music so relatable and so beautiful and so profound. But having this context around it was just, the only thing I could sort of relate it to was, remember when Black Star came out, and then I think it was 5 days later Bowie died. And a lot of people hadn't gotten around to listening to Black Star until after he died. And so those people had that experience, yeah, colored by the fact that not only was this his last album, but he knew that he was going to pass away. He knew that this would be the last album, and this was the last thing he wanted to leave behind in the world, and was very, like, reflexive in that process and very reflective of that. I think that's like the most similar experience I can think of. It is so beautiful, Javelin. It's almost overwhelming, and it overwhelmed me completely. So a song I want to, and I know you have a favorite on this, which I purposely didn't choose because I was wondering if you wanted to talk about any other song on this that you want, because I know that you like this a lot as well. But I think my favorite song on the record is called Genuflecting Ghost. And I'll talk about it a bit more after we listen to it, but here it is.
Give myself as a sacrifice. Genuflecting ghost, I kiss the floor. Rise, my love, show me paradise. Nothing seems so simple anymore. Rest assured, words come easy. Insecure, love and please me. Sacred word, bind me in salt as I praise your name.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I haven't revisited it too much because it's a heavy one.
but he does have a lot of that celestial, heavenly stuff.
And
well,
you know, that's the thing about this song that I love so much. So the song is about a ghost, right? And it's, you know, whether that's the Holy Ghost or whether it's the ghost of someone he knows or whatever it might be. There's the particular sort of like sonic quality of this song that I don't think I've ever really heard before. And it's the way he sort of has, he has a little bit of a warble in his voice, and there's a little bit of a like a tiny little vibration, and it just makes the whole song sound like it's in candlelight. Does that make sense? Like it makes it sound, you know, celestial and kind of in between worlds. It's such a specific quality. And when I heard it first, it just completely floored me. And I think this was the song that I properly broke down during. And obviously the melody is so, so beautiful. And the his supporting singers, who I think of a lot of these singers have been with him, you know, throughout his whole career. And you'll know their voices from Illinois and from other albums. But I don't know, it's just it's something about the quality in that song that I just find so, it's incredibly visual. And the thing about Sufjan, we're going to do a Sufjan episode soon, a spoiler for everybody, but we are going to do a deep dive into Sufjan soon.
Very soon.
Very, very soon. So I won't go on about it too much here. I do think you have to talk about religion and God when you talk about this album in particular. And the thing that makes Sufjan so convincing when he's singing about these things, is that there's never been any doubt in any of our minds that he loves God and that he has had a complicated relationship with religion throughout his life. You know, he's a gay man or bisexual man. I don't know how he identifies, but he's always wrestled with that challenge between, you know, his beliefs and between the church. And but the thing that he does so well is convey really, really well what faith is and what it can do. And I just don't think there's anybody else beyond, you know, Mozart writing a Requiem or, you know, like outside of kind of, you know, choral church music that really like makes the case as strongly as he does for what faith can actually do for your day to day life. I'm not a person who has a faith, but that does it. It never feels off limits to me. It never feels like I'm not invited. It never feels like he's singing about anything that I can't conceptualize or understand by different words or by different concepts. And he's so, so, so inviting with that. And he just, on this album, he gives so, so much. It's a really, really, really remarkable piece of art. You know, it's probably, I think, like one of his best albums that he's ever released. It's so personal. It's so beautiful. Everything in it is well placed and just perfect. Yeah, it's amazing. But sorry, you haven't gone back to it much now.
Running Start is a song that I would recommend. I won't play it now for time reasons. But that's the one that grabbed me at first. It's track two, I think, on the album.
Yeah.
But yeah, just because of the, like we said, the celestial choir and all that kind of majesty that he draws from quite regularly. And you're like, most people can't do this so easily, and he just makes it sound so effortless as well. So I think I'm aiming to revisit soon.
Okay, you're up.
All right, how do I go from Sufjan Stevens to this? I don't know, I'm just gonna play it. Danny Brown has a new album coming out soon. This is the first song from it. It's called Tantor.
Above the rim, when birdie with the blade out, nigga, time to fade out. Yeah, it's that blade round, get down to lay down. Nigga.
nigga better stay down. Greyhound my playground. Got a Mexican homie named Chinese Mike and the all black Cuddy, and he got that right. If you ain't got that green, then he might see red. Put a knot on your head, then we might see dread. Straight hair, white hoe with them pinky toes. Eating no noodles like Piscopo. You ain't talk to my lawyer, then I don't know. If you ain't watering the seeds, then how we grow? Reach one, teach one. Can show you to the water how you eat, son. Darker than a low tide. Shut the fuck up. It's time to ride. Jumping in like Grand Lugan.
All right, that's a bit of Danny Brown. Tantor is the name of that song from a forthcoming album. November 17th, actually, on Warp Records. Quaranta is what it's called. And again, another track produced by The Alchemist. There you go. The Alchemist is just having his imperial phase at the moment, so fair play to him. And obviously Danny Brown, since he's probably like released an album, has become this kind of podcast icon and kind of like this beloved, always a beloved kind of alternative hip hop rapper as well. And just like, he has his whole other career now as a podcast host. That just really interesting. It's wild. His podcast is wild. And
what,
his music is
what
too.
What is it? What's his podcast? What does he do?
Tried to listen to it a couple of times. I was like, it's fucking wild. It's just the Danny Brown show.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't have like a format.
It's on YouTube and stuff.
It's just kind of chats.
It's like one. I think if you got into it, you maybe understand what's going on. But he talks about everything, all and everything. And I'm just like, I don't know what's going on here. Mm. You know, look at the way you're just like, this is, I'm not into this deep enough to give this a go. Yeah. I don't know where this is going. He was like also saying sort of problematic things as well. I was like, no, I'm going to leave that now.
Mm.
I'll just enjoy the music for a bit. Yeah, if you have loads of time and you're looking for a podcast, you could probably check out the Danny Brown show. I mean, he's all sorts of stuff. He's talking about style with Dave One of Chromeo last week. All sorts of bits. So you never know what you're going to get with Danny Brown.
Okay.
What have you got for me or for us?
I have someone who you love, and I swooped in and I added this before you had a chance to, because I knew you would, but we're both free to talk about it. This is a new single from Rachel Lavelle, and it's called Travel Size.
Leave me out to dry. Drip dry. Empathy. Summertime. Empty me. Eyes wide. I was marinating in a melody so high. Can't come down from this again. If you want to feel it out, lean into the right of thought. You should take a break, you should take a time out. Summer leaves your open heart.
That song goes many other places, but we'll have to draw it there. But yeah, the album. Yeah, the album's out very soon on November 10th. It is called Big Dreams. She's so great. I
I love Rachel Levesque's music, and I love the weirdness of it all as well.
And her music kind videos,
high drama,
are
so good,
outstanding. Like she just, and she's like in them, sort of like, you know, acting, and she just seems like just one of those people where you're like, oh my god, where have you been? Like we just need someone like her. She's so eclectic and smart, and I just love the sound of her music. I think she has a kind of a Laurie Anderson thing going on with how she uses like electronic production techniques, how she manipulates her voice. Like when in that track, the first time when she comes in with the drip dry, you're like, what is this? Like, where is this going?
Yes.
So everything's so unexpected. Music videos are outstanding. Let Me Unlock Your Full Potential was amazing. She is playing in the, is it the Project Arts Center? Yeah, on 24th of November.
Yeah, it's sold out, I think.
Yeah, get one secondhand if you can.
Get yourself to it. Get yourself.
I've heard
to
great
it.
Things about her live show. I haven't seen her yet.
It's great. I saw her on Music Week recently.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's so interesting, and so her voice is pretty special. It's very It's magnetizing in a way that draws you in. It's like it's sucking the breath out of you sometimes.
Yeah,
I love it. I can't
wait for the album. I think she's so special. Can't wait to see what she does.
Also, one of my favorite opening lines of a song this year is from one of her songs this year. I think is it Big Dreams? I came for the comedy, I left for the bus.
Yeah. She's great. She's amazing.
Okay, I'm going to go to Cork now with a young band called I Dreamed a Dream. They have a 4-track EP called Why Say a Lot. And the reason that I find this is really interesting is because there's all sorts of different styles going on here. The first song is about the 214 Cork bus. Kind of has a Shannos kind of vibe. It can be a bit dark. I think the band describes themselves as experimental, no wave, bitch punk. And they also, one of the band, L. O'Leary Kelleher, said, and I quote, "The EP is a challenge to every teenage girl in Ireland. I dare you to start a band. I absolutely dare you."
I love it.
Here is Apparition from Audrey. Probably the most traditional song of the four here, that is Apparition. There, as I mentioned, 214, an interesting song about a cheating young fella who meets a blazing vehicular end on a bus. There's a pretty iconic line in a song called Tintin Haircut that goes, "We're going gigging, girlies." And so I really enjoyed that. Another thing I really enjoyed is this kind of humorous closing track. It's called The Bass. I'll just play a bit of it here.
My mother played the bass. My father played the bass. My brother, he just played the Xbox, and I played the bass. My mother played the bass. My father played the bass. My brother, he just played the Xbox, and I played the bass. I played the bass. I played the bass. My girlfriend played the bass. My boyfriend played the bass. My lover played me for a fool, and then I played the bass. My girlfriend played the bass. My boyfriend played the bass. My lover played me for a fool, and then I played the bass. I played the bass. I played the bass. Bass for my breakfast, bass for my lunch, bass for my dinner, bass is so munch, bass for for my breakfast, bass for my lunch, bass for my dinner, bass is so much, bass! Bass! My teacher played the bass, my principal played the bass, the girls they played with the boys, but then I played the bass. My teacher played the bass, my principal played the bass, the girls they played with the boys.
I leave it there so you can go and listen to the rest yourself. That's it's called Why Say a Lot.
Fucking iconic. I love them. It's my first time listening to them. I dreamed.
I keep saying their name wrong. I keep saying I dreamed.
The EP
is called
Amazing.
Why Say a Lot. Yeah, so four tracks on that. I really like it. And there's actually a video you can watch as well online on YouTube of them playing live, and they look really good. I actually just missed them by a couple of minutes recently when they played in the Complex at a DDR show. I missed that, but yeah, I really like what I'm hearing here with this band. And I think Mike McGrath, Brian, also was a big fan of this. Our Cork man in residence.
I can see
he's a big fan being into this. So yeah. So that is I Dreamed I Dream.
Speaking of people who Mike McGrath, Brian liked, this is John Francis Flynn. New song called Mole in the Ground. I believe this was actually released in September. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't get around to it until this month.
That's okay.
New song called Mole in the Ground sounds like...
I wish it was a mole in the ground. I wish it was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole, I'd tear the mountain down. If I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole, I'd tear the mountain down.
Certainly something you may not expect to hear from John Francis Flynn if you're familiar with his most recent album before this.
It has the dual joy of being an anti-establishment folk song, it's an American song that he's covering, and also making you think about what it would be like to be a little mole in the ground, which I enjoy doing. So yeah, this is a cover of American anti-establishment folk song. There's a line about the railroad men, how they'll kill you when he can and drink up your blood like wine. This is from NPR. The city property developers in Dublin or in Ireland are like a modern day equivalent of the railroad men, gentrification vultures, something John Francis Flynn has witnessed in Dublin, a city with a huge housing shortage crisis, which worsened following the 2008 economic crash. The provisioning of care just seemed to go out the window. With the highest rents in Europe and a shortage of affordable housing stock, I've read how many millennials now have to consider emigrating for a better future. So we're back to our Kojak conversation. On the back of this, you have those seeking to maximize profits, property owners and investment funds, so you can understand the anger and resentment many must feel. This doesn't just affect housing. Flynn has been a strong activist and social campaigner who was also among those who rapidly rallied the support of the public to oppose the redevelopment of the Cobblestone Pub, a vital cornerstone of the Dublin folk music scene, into a hotel. So yeah, I think this is an interesting turn from John Francis Flynn. It's definitely, you know, as the NPR, I think it's NPR, I'm sorry if it's not, as that article kind of floors there, like it's definitely within his remit in terms of the subject matter, but you know, tonally different. But I really like it. I really like his voice in it. I like how he sounds a little bit menacing or something. There's something kind of Nick Cave about it, maybe.
Yeah. So I put this on my Halloween playlist this week
because
kind of has that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Man. There's definitely something a bit menacing about it. It's really cool. It's a bit of a theme actually this week from us of kind of spooky stuff. We didn't plan it. We didn't do a Halloween episode this year, but We managed to get
to do
it
every year,
things.
But that's a nice way.
It's hard to find a new angle on Halloween when you do a music podcast. But
that's true. We do, but if you want to listen to one, you did a real good one about the Devil's Chord, Devil's Music.
Yeah, I did some.
Well, back we also had Horror Scores as well. We've done that, of course.
Yeah.
You go back.
We might have done like just Halloween a specials. Spooky song one. I don't know.
I don't know if we ever did that actually.
Well,
anyway,
too late now.
Our loss.
But Look Over the Wall, See the Sky is John Francis Flynn's upcoming album. It's going to be released on November 10th. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Great, me too. Okay, my next song was my second last track. I'm going to pick my favorite pop song of October.
Ooh,
right. Let's play it.
Okay.
It's by a band called, it's not like a chart pop song. It is poppy. You'll hear it now. My Lady of Mercy from The Last Dinner Party. Yeah, that's The Last Dinner Party. That's that band that you may remember the discourse around them was like, oh, they're entry plants because they're just five women. And they're great. They're really good. That's their third single. I've heard some, all the singles so far have had some sort of classic pop trope or sound. ABBA has been very prominent. I just see before we came on, they announced a debut album as well. So there is another song out today as well. So yeah, a really good band. It said My Lady of Mercy is about being a girl looking up at a painting of Joan of Arc for the first time and thinking that she looks so brave and so beautiful and that she wants to kiss her. And maybe she also wants to kiss the girl who stands next to her in the school choir.
Oh, we have all been there. Oh my God. Sorry, how dare you use my experiences for your song?
Get out of my head.
Get out of my life.
Album's out on February 2nd. They also say they are inspired by Nine Inch Nails, PJ Harvey and Roxy Music here as well. So yeah, I think it's great. I think they were on Jules Holland recently as well, so you can check that out. Really good band. They're playing here in the Workman's. They're supporting Hozier actually in his Dublin dates, and they're doing a late night. When it was announced, I was like, what's going on here? And then I realized what was happening. They're doing a late night gig in the Workman's on a Tuesday night at 11 o'clock or something like that. So it's long sold out. Anyway, not that I'd be going to a gig at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night anymore.
Oh, no. But
you can if you want.
You've changed, Niall. You're becoming a dad.
I have. Big dad energy. That's The Last Dinner Party, My Lady of Mercy. What have you got for us?
Cool. My last current choice from this past month is song from an album I really like, but I didn't include it in the album section just because I want to spend a bit more time with it. It's a song called The Kitchen. It's by Tandem Felix, and it's from the album There's a New Sheriff in You.
Something's cooking in the kitchen. Find out. Am I
I like that song a lot. It's from, there's a new sheriff in town, the second album from Tandem Felix, David Tapley, who I think is a really, really good songwriter. I loved his first record, Rom-Com. I was really surprised and disappointed that it wasn't nominated for the Choice Prize that year. It was the year that I was a judge and I definitely put it forward that year. I think it's just a criminally underrated album. It's an excellent album. I think this follow-up is really, really great.
It's really good. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Really good. I think that the kitchen there, that's a great, that's a nice, I think it's emblematic of the sound of the record. You know, I think he very much wears his influences on his sleeve, which I like in an artist. You know, it's not a Wilco kind of like slackery. But I think as well, like, there's a lot of like interesting production choices on this song. I don't know if we heard too much of it there, but as you listen to the whole song, I think the track is full of tons of like very subtle, very small, but very interesting production decisions. Like there's a nice fuzziness to it. There's a kind of a nostalgic tone to it. And I really like this song. I really, really like the album. Not much more to say about it except that. I just think it's really good.
He did a nice track by track for us on the website.
I saw that actually.
Each track on, yeah. There's a new Sheriff in Town. I really like the album a lot. I think it's really good. He's also a neighbor of mine.
Is he? There you go.
Near enough. Down the road. Like, I mean, very close.
There you go.
I could possibly throw a stone at his house if I wanted to.
But you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I probably could. Yeah, I'd have to have a good aim. Anyway, Tan Felix, there's a new sheriff.
Yeah, and also you will have heard David Tapley playing a bit of pedal steel around the place on like Saint Sister Records, and kind of he's been jumping on a few albums, a few Irish albums around the place as well. So, but yeah, very good album. Highly recommend it. Very good.
Very much so. And also bonus points for doing a music video in the Lord Edward restaurant.
Yeah, very good video.
I can't remember if anyone's ever been to.
The Lord Edward?
The restaurant.
Like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Everyone loves the pub. Yeah. But, I mean, the restaurant is closed now, unfortunately, but I don't know anyone that ever went there.
Get in touch.
But yeah. Okay, it's golden oldie time. It's also, the reason I want to play this is because we talked about bringing back reasons to be cheerful. There are many reasons to do so. And what's more cheerful than a track from William Onyebor? When the going is good and smooth, many main people will be your friend. It is William Onyebor. That's all you need.
When the going is smooth and good, many, many people will be your friend.
Just leave it there. That's William Onyebor, When the Going is Good and Smooth.
Niall, I've never heard that before, and that was the best experience I've ever had in my life.
Oh, what a guy.
That sounds like Nigerian, it was number one, like, for 20 weeks in Animal Crossing. Like, That's what the little animals listen to, and they love it. And it's like their the biggest selling track ever.
So if you don't know who William Onyebor is, he's a Nigerian musician who got really into synths and synthesizers in the 80s and 70s, 70s and 80s, and made all this kind of psychedelic pop music, kind of ahead of its time, and then was recently kind of re-spotlighted by David Byrne's Luwaka Bop label with some reissues and stuff like that. And then I think he died about 10 years ago, maybe 8 or 9, 10 years ago, something like that. There was a tribute album with David Byrne, Hot Chip, Dave Hines and more, who recorded versions of his songs. He has great tunes. Fantastic Man, Good Name, Atomic Bomb, Body and Soul are in there. But that was one of the, that's, there are, there's a quite a lot of bouncy ones.
That was amazing.
But that's a big bouncy one.
I'm going to listen to that a big bouncy one.
So.
Thank you for so good. Bringing this into my life.
I have the album. Who is William Onyebor album on vinyl? It's Sunshine in a Song and in an album. So really, really lovely. I love that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
My Golden Oldie is a song I like to listen to at this time of the year. It is a spooky song. It reminds me of Donnie Darko because it is in that film. It is The Killing Moon, and it's by Echo and the Bunnymen, and it's awesome.
Great choice.
And now hand such a good soundtrack,
that. And such a good song. Oh, yeah, nice.
I'll tell you about the most jarring experience.
We're going casual. We're going casual.
We're hand-holding the mics.
Let's go casual.
Yeah, I'm getting comfy.
It's Q&A time. Hi, how are you?
I'll tell you about the most jarring experience I've ever had in my life was sitting down to watch the director's cut of Donnie Darko. And instead of that song coming in, it's Never Tear Us Apart by INXS. And I was like,
nope.
Excuse me. It works fine, but it's like absolutely not like this. It's iconic. Like he wakes up on the golf course, starts cycling away. This song comes in, Echo and the Bunnymen. It's amazing. It's such an amazing thing. But yeah, I listen to that a lot at this time of the year. I love that song. I really, really love that song. I love that band. Yeah, so that's my Golden Oldie.
Two addendums to what we were recently discussing. First of all, we did an episode recently about the KLF, and there's a KLF book, which Stevie G sent me after hearing the episode, and I read it, and I can't remember what it's called, but I'm just going to find it now. But in one of the stories he talks about, I mean, it is mentioned in the documentary that he, KLF, Chaos, Magic, and the Band Who Burned £1 Million is the name of the book. Really, really good read. But Bill Drummond did manage... Echo and the Bunnymen briefly.
Yes.
So it is mentioned. And the big magic rabbit is something that is actually on their artwork as well.
Yeah.
And it obviously also echoed in the film as well. So yeah, really interesting.
I'm going to rewatch Donnie Darko soon. Have you been reading, watching... what else can you do?
I'm reading, watch,
look at things.
Fintan O'Toole's book, We Don't Know Ourselves, which I'm really enjoying. Mm-hmm. Kind of a personal and political history of Ireland from the day he was born, 1958 onwards. I am watching The Fall of the House of Usher.
Me too.
Which is, it's good so far, but it's also cheesy.
What's his name? Mike Flanagan. Yes.
So if you like,
I love him.
The Haunting of Hill House, then yes, you'll be into this. And I think it's good so far.
The best one, Midnight Mass. Have you watched that one?
Which one is that?
It's the one with the priest.
I think I gave up on that one. Oh. Is that on the island?
Yeah, I think it was an island.
Yeah.
Charismatic priest comes along, island in disarray, start kind of worshipping him. Oh, it's amazing. It's my favorite of his.
Okay, very good. Maybe a time for a revisit. In terms of Halloween stuff, I watched that film Host because it was a bit too on the nose when it first came out about a horror set on Zoom. It is quite scary though.
Oh,
it is very scary.
We're going to watch
that. And it's only like 56 minutes long.
Yeah, we're going to watch that in the next few days actually. That's that's our plan.
Good shout. Do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do it.
Anything else?
That's everything, I think. Possibly. I feel like I'm watching something else, but I can't remember what it is.
I did my annual reading on Halloween of The Telltale Heart, which is fitting for watching the Fall of the House of Usher. It's like 2,000 words long. No one has an excuse to not read it. It takes like 15 minutes to read it. It's really short. So I read that yesterday. Book-wise, I think I've read a few things recently, but nothing so good that I want to kind of mention it. I have been watching Big Brother.
Oh, are you okay?
Obsessed, completely obsessed with it. They've had a whole Halloween thing this week. It's been great. So nice to have Big Brother in the autumn when I'm indoors and I want to be watching stuff and they can do the house up like scary and have Halloween tasks and stuff. It's so much better than having it in the winter. It's never occurred to me. So I've been watching that and that's been taking up essentially every moment of my day. Every waking moment of my day is thinking about those housemates. If anyone's interested and is a member of the Juvenalia Patreon, Sarah and I talked about our kind of unhinged obsession with 1 to 2 of the housemates that we have. So you can go and listen to that on the Juvenalia Patreon. Sorry to plug a different Patreon, but just if you're there, that's where that is. So I've been watching Big Brother, I've been watching Bake Off. I'm just not really that into it this year. I don't know. I feel like Bake Off is wearing off on me a bit. I feel like they need to replace Noel. Because like Alison Hammond has come in and it's like she's always hosted it. She's amazing. She's just like the perfect like tone.
Yeah.
She's the perfect host for it. And it's sort of like highlighting that Noel is like just not as good as her. So I think there needs to be another shakeup next season. Get rid of him. Sorry to the Noel stans out there. I know they do exist. Yeah, watching Bake Off, Fall of the House of Usher. That's it, really. We haven't been watching any films because every night at 9 o'clock, I watch Big Brother and Harry goes to bed. So it's like I'm watching the live streams now. Like I'm in it. I'm in it to win it.
Well, that's fine. If that's how you want to spend your autumn, that's
it is.
Fine.
It is how I want to spend my autumn. Rad.
You can
thank
do
you
that.
Very much.
You can absolutely do that.
And I will.
No problem at all whatsoever.
and the new series of Taskmaster is really good too. I'm enjoying that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really commit to those shows more than like a single season, like Big Brother, Taskmaster. I know you love Taskmaster. I just can't, time-wise, I've never been great at doing that. Mm. And the same with Bake Off. I'll get into it for one season and I'm like, no, I don't watch it anymore.
I think with Bake Off, that's probably fair. It is like the most formulaic show, you know, to the point where which week is going to be bread week every year. But yeah, it's good. Been enjoying it. Been really enjoying autumn. Been really leaning in. We were talking before we started recording. You know, you noticed I had cut a fringe. It is Scorpio season. I'm unhinged. I am a Scorpio. I cut this fringe myself in my bathroom while listening to Fleetwood Mac. This is my vibe right now. This is how I'm feeling. I feel powerful and I feel connected to the moon. So I love autumn.
Very good.
It's amazing.
We have a black cat in this house and I wanted to call her Stevie because she arrived around this time of year. And I was like, let's call her Stevie after Stevie Nicks. And but no, didn't happen.
No.
That's okay. But yeah.
Okay. patreon.com/neither9 if you want to support the podcast. Get access
to
playlists, sometimes gig tickets that might either
free tickets
be,
to Lumo. Yeah,
yeah, free tickets to Lumo. And also Discord, which is a community of music fans and musicians and people who for whom music is a very important part of their life. And there are meetups and a music league and general interesting discussion away from social media. How is that?
Yeah, it's very good.
Thank you.
Very good. It's exactly what you need in your life, probably. You just didn't know it was missing.
For sure.
Yeah, it's good. If you're the kind of person who maybe misses online forums or have never understood what that even means, you could find yourself in the Discord having good chats with people and also supporting us while you do so. Yeah, patreon.com. We are doing next week, we actually have an event.
Yeah, that's next week. Wow.
Which is our Forte listening party in the Big Romance. It is currently sold out. It's very limited. But we will be doing more of those soon. More listening parties. Maybe there was a hint in here somewhere.
Oh,
maybe there was a hint.
Ooh-hoo. Do you think so? Think they'll get it?
Maybe. But yeah, perhaps. We'll let you know very soon about that. And in the meantime, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the spooky season.
Happy Halloween.
It's kind of over now, but it's never really
it's
over.
Never really
it's never
over.
Really over. There's chance of fog. You're probably in a good place for feeling spooky. And I like the darker nights.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're nice. And they're great for listening to music.
Mind yourselves. So, take your vitamin D. Get a sod lamp. Do what you need to do. You got them there? Good man. Do what you need to do
vitamin D right beside
to
me.
Get through these next few months. The clocks have changed. Everything's different. We're going to be fine. We make it through every year.
Indeed.
It's all good.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the 909 podcast. Bye.